Unexpectedly, large numbers of Egyptians turned out to vote today in the country's first parliamentary elections since the ouster of President Hosni Mubarak. Voters included Egyptians of almost every social class and religious community, and there was a strong police and military presence to prevent violence. Today is the first round in a multi-stage election. Different provinces will vote over several months to elect a new parliament by March. Crowds were smaller today in the epicenter of the country's democratic movement, Cairo's Tahrir Square, but there were still thousands of people there demanding an immediate end to the military's interim rule. Journalist Thanasi Kambanis joins us from Cairo. And Thanasi, we've been reading that these are the most fair and free elections in modern Egyptian history. On the other hand, many voters say they're not very confident in the integrity of the vote count. So is this a free and fair vote?
The bar in Egypt has been set so low over decades of abuse by the ruling regime that the people I talked to today who queued up for some of them for 3 or 4 hours from before dawn to vote had no illusions that this would be a transformative election. What they described was an election where for the first time their voices would count to some extent. So they expect a certain amount of fraud. So a parliamentary election where if there's not wide-scale ballot stuffing, vote buying, and violence, people will consider it, Egyptians at least, will consider it fair enough and free enough.
So maybe that accounts for what we hear is not the kind of joy that was seen among Tunisians when they voted about a month ago.
Well, the other comparison is towards Egypt's own referendum election in March. And that was a simple yes-no vote on some constitutional amendments. But people were euphoric then. They felt like they were exercising for the first time in generations the right to have some say over their government, even though the election itself didn't really affect much. By now, they've seen that the revolution in Tahrir Square has not yet succeeded at changing the system at all. Egypt is still ruled by the same group of military generals who held a lot of power under Mubarak. In fact, the military has more power than it did before. This election, while important, in no way requires the military to surrender authority. And right now, the big struggle among democracy activists and Tahrir Square activists is to convince the army to actually surrender the absolute authority that it still possesses.
So what is the likely role of the military after today's elections and the vote count?
The military has made clear over the last couple of months that it intends to have special provisions in the Constitution that protect it from any scrutiny or any civilian control. They have also said that the next parliament that's elected won't have any say over the running of the next government, and its only role will be to help author the next Constitution.
The other organization besides the military being closely watched as far as its outcome in the election is the Islamic Brotherhood, the group most organized. What has its strategy been, and what do we expect to see it emerge as after these elections?
The Muslim Brotherhood has just been far and above beyond more organized than any other political player in Egypt during this transition period. Today, that was evident at dawn when the Muslim Brotherhood's followers came directly after morning prayers to line up at polling stations. And you could see in the women and men clutching voter guides issued by the Freedom and Justice Party, which is the Muslim Brotherhood's wing. You could see it in the special help booths that were set up outside of every polling station with Muslim Brotherhood activists with laptops there to help people figure out where they needed to go and vote. And you could see it in the ubiquitous posters and banners all over the city. It's widely assumed that the Muslim Brotherhood will be the top finisher in the election, and the only real question is, will they end up with 30% of the parliamentary seats or something as high as 50 or 55%?
Thanasi, no matter who ends up in the parliament, you've said that the military has said that the parliament's role will be limited. So can we expect this to be either a puppet or a toothless parliament when it's all over?
The good news is it's unlikely to be a puppet parliament. It's likely to be a parliament that really does express the polyphony of voices in Egyptian politics, and it'll be up to them to fight for any authority and power. This parliament will definitely have a soapbox unlike any before, and it's going to have a bunch of voices that have never before been heard in Egyptian politics.
Thanasi Kambanis is in Cairo, Egypt. He's a columnist at the Boston Globe and a contributor to The Atlantic Online. He's also the author of A Privilege to Die, Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel. Thanasi, thank you very much.
A pleasure.